You think if I practice, I could do that? Thank you so much. Whoa. You know, we should always be careful not to take for granted the connection between the brain and the fingers that produces the music that blesses us. The connection between the brain and the voice that blesses us with music. We sometimes treat it as though it just happens. It doesn't just happen. Somebody had to learn and experience discipline to present that. So thank you, all of you. Appreciate it. And you too. Okay. The parable of the sower was finished. The parable of the mustard seed had been presented and was over. And Jesus needed a break. Now hold on, from people. Do you ever feel that way when you finish preaching at church? Morris Vendon, I was privileged to pastor a church for 5 years where Morris Vendon had been the pastor. He's an extreme introvert. Many of us are, maybe not as extreme. He would not walk to the front of the church and shake people's hands as they leave. He would exit out of the church and disappear. You know that about him? Do you even know him? I wouldn't be here without Morris Vendon. He saved my life. He saved my life spiritually. But he needed a break. Some of us can tolerate more people more of the time than others. But Jesus was empty. And so Mark chapter 4 records that on that same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let's cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And I don't have a clue how he was. It just says, as he was. I remember picking up my kids out of the back seat of the car and carrying them back into the house and putting them to bed after a long trip. Four of them. As they were. And I don't know if he was already so exhausted that as he was meant he was already falling to sleep. But he was tired. And other little boats were also with them. And a great windstorm arose. And the waves beat not onto, into the boat. Not a good thing. So that it was already filling. But he was in the stern. And to make sure that you understand these nautical terms, that's in the back of the boat. Okay. He was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. Rock, little boat on the stormy sea. And he was asleep. And they awoke him and said to him, "Master, do you not care that we are perishing?" Awkward.
really, really awkward. This wasn't Peter sliding down into the waves on his failed attempt to walk on water in chapter 6. Help me! And Jesus immediately helped him. Now, Jesus immediately helps these guys too. Maybe it was Peter even that said what was said. I don't know. They really made it personal. Don't you care? He arose. It's very interesting. He arose and rebuked the wind. I probably would have taken time to rebuke them for that dumb question. He arose without a word. He turned to the wind and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the ears of the wind and the ears of the sea heard him. And there was a great calm. And only after it was calm did he turn to them and say, "Why are you so fearful?" Now, I'm going to confess something to you here. There are so many places in the Bible where it's so inappropriate to say, "Fear not." But it's always the good guys that say, "Fear not." You know what I'm saying? I mean, Elisha's servant goes out early in the morning, takes a peek around, and the hills around that little town are full of the horses and chariots and soldiers of, you know who I mean. The king. And he runs back in to Elisha, and he says, "My Lord, my Lord, we perish, we perish." And Elisha wakes up and says, no, he didn't say this. If I was writing it, I would say, he calmly said, "Fear not. Fear not." Amazing. So many places. I'm telling you, if I had been one of those shepherds out on the hills near Bethlehem, and a bunch of angels came and started singing to me, "Fear not." Yeah, right. How is it that you have no faith? I mean, I just finished the parable about the mustard seed. And here's their response. This is lovely. "And they feared exceedingly." "And said to one another," now they're afraid of something else, afraid of him, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Have you ever asked God a dumb question like that? Have you ever asked God, "Do you care? Are you asleep?" You know, I'm reminded of the little jab that Elijah made to the priests of Baal when he said, "Maybe you ought to talk a little louder. Possibly he's asleep. Your God is asleep." In this case, it was true. And it was the good guy's God. He's asleep. I don't understand that. But have you experienced at this point in your life the world falling down around you? If you haven't, you will. I'm telling you, it's just part of life.
You're stumbling around trying to find your way through the valley of the shadow of death, and you cry out, God, do you care about what's happening to me?
I have gone through dark times in my life. I don't even like to think about them. Terrible times. Through experiences I didn't think I would ever recover from. I remember one particularly difficult time in my life when I could not pray for months. And I was a minister of the gospel. Who cares? And I don't mean the flippant who cares. I'm talking about the kind of who cares when you're crying yourself to sleep every night. When you do not have a clue how to get out of what you're into. You know, I go home every night to a warm home or a cool home. My bills are paid. Well, most of them. I feel secure. But occasionally, I think about what some of you are going through. And some of you are going through tough times. Some of you are going through tough times. I would guarantee you, the person who reads the prayer cards that are turned in this meeting knows that you're going through tough times. Now, there may be some in this room that I need to apologize to you. Maybe you've never experienced a bad time. And I hope you don't, but you will. Some of what life dishes out is so distasteful that we may find ourselves crying out with Elijah, it's enough. It is enough now, O Lord, take my life away. 2 weeks ago, I sat in a car with my father, 87 years old, active all of his life. Now he is restrained because of age. He still drives, but you do not want to be on the road when he's out there. My mother has been placed in a nursing home, and he's out at the home place all by himself. He didn't care for the fluids in his car, and he burnt the engine up. So he is really at home. An independent man with no means of getting out and away. And he's riding with me in the car. And he says something very frightening to me. He says, Stan, he says, I don't know if I have a purpose for living. He says, sometimes I think about dying. It's hard to talk about. Those disciples in that boat were seasoned sailors. They knew that they were in trouble, the waves like watery mountains, angry and alive. And the boat became not a boat, it became a trough. You know what a trough is. And they shared the boat with the water upon which they were supposed to be floating. Not good. They knew they were in trouble. And Jesus was asleep. Don't you care that we're dying? Some years ago, I had just gone through one of those dark periods in my life. I was on my way out. God was blessing. And a friend called me up, and he said, Stan, he said, would you come fishing with me? Now, I don't know how you see these things, but fishing is a good thing. And I didn't say yes to be nice to him. I said yes because I wanted to go. And my joy at the possibility of going up to Diamond Reservoir, which is up by Elk Mountain in south central Wyoming, about 9,000 feet up, And it was an incredible place to fish. But here's the part that I was in denial about. He had a 12-foot aluminum Montgomery Ward boat that was made before I was born. Most of you in this room don't even know what Montgomery Ward is. It was kind of like the Walmart of my youth and childhood. But he had this 12-foot. Now, 12-foot sounds like a pretty good-sized boat, but it is not long enough. I mean, look at me. You want to put me in a 12-foot boat that was made in 1948? And it was put together with rivets. And the rivets were loose. Did I hear somebody say no? I think I did. Anyway, we took off out of Cheyenne, went west for about probably two hours. Cut off the side through the country to the lake. Beautiful day, early spring. The water had just thawed. Water temperature in the lake at that point in time was about 38, 39 degrees. Very cold. We put the boat in the water, little 5-horse motor, not big enough. And we motored out to the spot that the National Geophysical Survey map said is the old river channel, 35 feet deep, and we start fishing. And we were intercepting some of the finest brown trout that God ever made. He made them for us. Had a nice little basket, you know, that was closed. You could just drop the fish in. Had probably about 12 pounds of fish in that basket by the time this incident happened. But up in that part of the country, the wind can start blowing without warning, and it did. And all of a sudden, 3-foot waves, and we're about 300 yards offshore. And when we realized it, we turned into shore, and we started to head towards shore, but not fast enough. He was driving the boat. I was in the front, which was maybe a part of the problem, because the water kept coming over the front. And I had nothing to throw the water out with. So I pull my pocket knife out, and there was an old faded Mountain Dew can. I did not drink it. An old faded Mountain Dew can. I took my pocket knife and cut the top off of it. And here I am, water coming over the bow. I'm throwing water out with a pop can. It was a futile attempt.
It's a futile attempt. I've got to hurry. I don't have much time. We sank. We sank. Conservatively in 39 degree water. I've lived and functioned in the outdoors most of my life. I know what 39 degree water can do to you and how quickly it can do it. 150, 175 yards from shore. I'll show you how silly people can be. As we're sinking, I mean, I'm talking the boat is underwater. Boat is underwater, 3-foot waves knocking us around. We're trying to grab our stuff. Help me out. I don't know if I was God, if I would save somebody so foolish. We're trying to grab our stuff. And it's sinking, and we realize that we could be dying. This could be the end. And the water got about to here, and the boat stopped. You laugh, it's not funny. Water stopped about here. We had gotten out of the riverbed, fortunately, into an area where the water was shallow for a long ways. And so we gathered our stuff.
And we pulled that boat with the little rope on the front of it. We pulled it underwater all the way to the shore. And the physical exertion kept us warm enough that it didn't kill us. But one of those crazy experiences, whenever I read this story in Mark or Matthew, wherever I read it, I always think of that little experience on Diamond Lake. It was real, a real problem. Now let me move through. The question that these guys ask does not make sense, because they're asking the one who talked to Nicodemus and gave him John 3:16. For God so loved the world. We are in the world. He so loved the world. He had announced his intentions by claiming the prophecy of Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." You know the rest of it. To take care of us. Their lives and the life and welfare of every human on earth is provided for, and it is the sole reason that Jesus was in the earth, let alone in the boat. But the amazing thing is, when these troubles come upon us, it's very easy to forget all of that because it's happening to me. Some might consider this question foolish. I tell you, at this point in my life, I could look back nearly 64 years and say it's not a foolish question. We can't always see clearly in the face of such a challenge. We have to remember that Jesus said, "I am sending you like lambs out to the wolves." Wolves eat lambs. You will face tribulation. God has sent you. He has sent me. I wish I had time to tell you about some of the fears that I've experienced in ministry. Some I manufactured, others were real. But we will face difficulty. No pun intended, he did not pull the wool over our eyes when he said he was sending us into a difficult place. Don't you care? I want to take just a moment in finishing up. I want you to picture the lake. Picture the waves on the Sea of Galilee, not 3-foot diamond lake waves. We're talking probably 6-7-foot waves. And he stands up off of that wet pillow and says something simple, "Peace be still." I want you to stand there as this all settles down. The mast is going not like this and this. The mast is going like this. And the water has returned to a rippling sheen. Totally, absolutely still. And I want you to look around. Look around. Look first in your boat. And ask yourself, as a pastor, as one called of God, have I put rocks in my boat that are contributing to my sinking? Before we ask him to deliver us, look in the boat. Am I spending money on things that I shouldn't? If so, throw it out. Am I driving a car that I can't afford? Throw it out. Are there things in my personal life that are pulling me down and discouraging? Throw it out. Throw it out. But then I want you to focus on the water again. What do you see? What do you see? Just smooth water? How many times when we read this story at the end, how many times do we think about the little boats that went with them? Where are they? Where are the boats that cast off from the shore and went with them? And consider the fact that when they were terrified, they could wake up Jesus because he was in their boat. What about the other boats? Were they also in the storm? Absolutely.
But they had no Jesus. I want to suggest to you that maybe the most powerful lesson of this story, and here we end. The most powerful lesson of this story is that God has called you and I to put Jesus in those boats. Even if he is asleep. Put him in the boat as he is. Leave the rest to him.
Sometimes we think about evangelism as being this big program and great events and stuff. Evangelism is about putting Jesus in the boat.
And I'm going to suggest to you that you need to find the creativity to figure out how to do it where you are. But we are all in the storm of this world together. You and I have been called to do something about it. Go forth. Go forth and put him in the boat. Let's pray. Father in heaven, help us to realize the powerful implications of representing you on this earth.
Lord, grant us the faith to be able to say, those that are struggling with the difficulties of life, peace be still, and the waves and the wind will subside in that person's life.
Your Spirit can make that happen, Lord. Help us to believe that we can be that agent. And Lord, there are trials and difficulties that some in this very auditorium are going through. I pray that you will lift them up.
Help them to rise above the water. Let their soles of their feet stand on the water of the troubles that afflict their lives.
Bless them. Keep them, Lord, I pray. Each one of us, may we be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen.